honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our fascinating conversation today with 96-year-old ex-prisoner of war, Harold Radish, a lifelong resident of the Big Apple, except for his time in the Army during World War II. Captured in February 1945 while serving with the 90th Infantry Division, he told us about some of his experiences in captivity as well as his liberation. And Harold, why don't you pick up where we left off? You'd lost about 15 pounds in captivity, but now you're a free man again. What did they do with you?
They flew us, the British flew us into Brussels. That was VE Day. There's a group of us, there must have been 10 of us, or maybe more, but I remember going, they let us go into a bar, we had some beers and was singing and all the rest of that, and then we went to some camp, and then they moved us from Brussels. Eventually we ended up, like all ex-POWs, at Camp Lucky Strike. And that was an adventure in itself. We were there for a week, and nothing was happening. Finally, I remember seeing Eisenhower flying in and getting out and making a big speech telling us, look, I'm trying to move you out, but we still have a war in Japan, but we'll get you out. So at that point, there were four of us in this little tent, and one guy, you know, some of these guys were sharp. They knew how to finagle and do things. Maybe I was more of a follower. But he said, let's go to Paris. We were outside of Le Havre. I said, can we get a pass? He says, what do you care about a pass? He says, we'll go. I said, but we'll be AWOL. He says, what are they going to do, put you back in a prison camp? So we went AWOL, and we were in Paris for about 3 or 4 days. The only thing is, we couldn't go to the Red Cross and get meals because we didn't have passes. What we could do is buy donuts or whatever it was. We got some change somehow. We got money. Guys had money, and we were able to get the donuts. One night, there was a curfew in Paris, and somehow we were out later than the curfew. And the MPs came through, and they saw us, and they put us in jeeps, and I ended up getting in a police station. I remember it was a high desk, and this guy was, I don't know what he was. I know he was an officer, but he was sitting on the top, and he says, you know, you missed the curfew, and I'm going to have to put you away for a little while. He says, you got any ID? I said, yes, I have a little piece of paper that says I'm reparations or something like that, and I handed it to him. Oh, he says, you're an ex-POW? Get the hell out of here. I don't want to see you, and I don't want to see you again anymore. Get out. And I was on my own, and I ended up finding the guys again. So, you know, I had my little adventures during the war, but luckily I was fortunate. Maybe I didn't think too much about what was going on. I just lived my soldiering day by day.
And to come back home to America.
Yes. That was great. They put us on a boat, a little one, I don't know what. You could eat yourself crazy. Anytime you wanted anything, you just went into the mess hall, and they gave you ice cream. They gave you steak. Whatever you wanted was fantastic. We docked in New York. I got to a phone booth, and I called home, and my mother answered the phone, and she said, my God, he's alive! And I said, I'll be home soon. That's when it hit me, how they suffered. We knew what was happening to us, but they didn't. My mother had gotten a missing in action telegram. I didn't know about that. And she had no idea what to do, but one of the aunts could read, write English. She spoke well, so she took my mother to the Red Cross, and they discussed something with the Red Cross. I saw my mother when I came home. Of course, there were a crowd of people outside the house, but when I saw my mother when I came home, that at that point, that hit me. She was a like a gray-haired little old lady. When I left, she was a vibrant, dark-haired, you know, a mother, took care of the kitchen, took care of the kids. But when I saw her, when I came back, that hit me for, took me a couple of months to get over that. They didn't know where we were, you know? They had no idea. So that's the suffering they went through. I think the people that were home, especially not knowing what was happening to their kids, were the ones that really took a real beating.
Yeah, it's a powerful perspective to consider, you know, that we don't think about enough. And there's something I haven't asked you yet. Do you even know when you lost the cup from your mess kit?
No, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'll tell you what happened. When we used to get fed at night, they'd give us the mess. You know, you'd get a pan and you'd get the cup and you'd eat and you'd put it back. You didn't carry that stuff around while you were, you know, out in the soldiering and fighting and all. It made noise and all. So you didn't want that. So apparently I must have dropped it or something. My granddaughter a couple of months ago said, "Grandpa, there's some guy who got in touch with me on Facebook. And he said something about a cup or whatever. Why don't you get in touch with him or let him get in touch with you?" That was the first time I heard about that cup. And why I scratched my name on the bottom of a cup, I still don't know. Maybe I put my name in everything I owned, you know. I still remember. R3290363. That was my number.
So the magic of the internet, a guy finds this cup and somehow tracks down your granddaughter, and now that cup is in your possession all these years later.
Yes. He sent it to me. You know, he has an electronic stick, you know, like the guys on the beach, they go around looking for rings and stuff like that. You ever see them?
Sure. Yeah, the metal detectors?
The metal detector, and he must have one of those. And he is sort of an authority on the 90th Division because they were in that area. And he sent me a picture of a plaque on a stone of the 90th Division. And he must have a lot of these artifacts there and must have a lot of information also. You know, General Patton is buried in that area in Luxembourg.
Well, what did that mean to you to have something you didn't even remember that you'd lost, but now it's coming back to you with your name on it, representing long ago and far away?
You know, I can't fathom even drinking out of it. I don't remember. But there it is. There's a cup, and I was there. And he tells me the days I was there. And yes, it was January 1945, and somehow he knows the dates that my outfit was there.
Wow.
You know, when we got captured, the first prison camp we went to, they gave us postcards, and we filled out our names and a date and where we were, and they were supposed to have mailed them. I got that card about 2 months after I was home.
Wow.
As I keep thinking about it, that's why I felt so bad for my mother, you know. I shouldn't keep repeating it, but that was the hardest part of the whole business, yeah.
Well, I don't want to be melodramatic, but I'm just curious, you know, when you go through something like that, when there are reminders all around you of how different things could have worked out, and now you look back at all the years you've had since and your family and your career and the connections you've made, and now this latest chapter with a cup showing up out of the blue, how do you explain all that? What's your explanation for the way your life has worked out?
I'm just a lucky guy. That's my explanation. And it's been my thinking in the last few years. There is nothing you can do. Whatever you do, you can run, you can exercise, you can take drugs, you can get surgery, all the rest. If you don't have luck, or maybe it's the guy above, but if you don't have luck, it's not going to happen. If you're lucky, everything works out. You know, I'm so lucky. I'm the last guy in my group here in Queens and Brooklyn, Manhattan, you know, these XPOWs. It's just luck. I have no other way to figure it out. I've never been very religious, you know, so that I can't say that he's taking care of me, but he probably is. It's not deep thinking, but that's what I think it is.
Well, you're doing something right, and I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling us this story that only you could tell us. I'm curious, one more thing. Is there something that you would say as you look back over all of this, that there's something you're most proud of or most thankful for?
I'll tell you, I am most proud of that I was able to serve and help my country. I am thankful for this was my generation, I think, was the term, you know, greatest generation. As I grew up, things got better and better and better. I was lucky enough to pass civil service exams so that I could work, make a living, a halfway decent living. I was lucky enough to find the right woman who brought up my, unfortunately, she got cancer, and about 7 years ago she passed away, but she was the right woman. I had two nice daughters, and she also was a civil servant. She worked, and she took care of the kids and took care of the house, and she was the one that the meals made sure that everybody was healthy and happy and clean and things were taken care of. Those are things, you know, you're getting me to think about these things, and I think I'll sleep tonight, I'm sure. But I don't look back on, now I'm, you know, you ask me these things, so I look back on these things. And the more I look back on them, I may have had adventures, I've been part of the world, part of growing up, etc., but I've come out of it great. You know, I'm still here, and I'm not sick. I still drive, and, you know, and I'm 96 years old, and I contact a 90-year-old woman every so often. So, you know, life is not bad.
It doesn't sound like it, and I can tell you don't take it for granted.
No, I don't take it for granted. I'm thankful. I'm thankful.
Well, aren't we thankful we got to spend this hour with Harold Radish. That's all the time we have, but thanks so much for listening. After hearing from an ex-prisoner of war, maybe you don't need me to say it again, but I will anyway, like I do each week. Freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.